Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. I cannot tell you how excited I am to have my dear friend, Mr. Pedro Adoa, on the show. Pedro, welcome.
Dave, how are you, my friend?
I am so excited. I always think I should just record and post out the pre-interview type of stuff as we're sitting there talking. That's all the best stuff. One of these days, I'll have to actually do it behind the scenes with Pedro. But, oh, my gosh, for those of you guys who don't know Pedro, he's literally been crushing it. He's known as the challenge guy. More important than that, he's a dear friend. What do you have, like 5 or 6 Two Comma Club X awards? One of our fastest growing affiliates, Dream Car Award winner, Inner Circle member. But the best part is this is a man who's got deep faith and is super, super focused on helping others succeed. In fact, today we're going to be diving deep into really how to sow and why you must sow in a famine. Both Pedro and I have had the opposite experience when we weren't ready, when the famine hit and literally got pummeled. I think you said it best as far as being throttled back in business. Mine ended up on basically spent a ton of time on my knees trying to figure out what in the heck am I going to do next. And I know that you had many of the similar types of things. But anyways, I've been doing enough talking real quick. Pedro, what do you want to say to our audience?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Happy to be here. And yeah, Dave and I had a great time before the record button hit. So we're going to do our best to make sure that we deliver the goods for you guys. And, you know, as we're recording this, Dave, you know, obviously we're still in this global pandemic. You know, literally, I just got new word on my phone that, you know, our governor, I'm here in California, just shut down the state again. And so, you know, I know that for a lot of your listeners, they're going to listen to this right now in real time. And I just want to share with them some encouragement about what they could be doing right now and just the importance of actually what I call sowing or investing into your life, into your business, into yourself during a famine time. And what we're seeing right now because of this global pandemic is a famine. There are companies, industries, businesses that are gone, that are filing for bankruptcy in the process of, and this is like cleaning out not just business, like the school system is being cleaned up. Government is being, all of these things, Dave, that were all of these systems and processes that maybe were kind of old school or a little bit kind of just have been left alone for too long. All of the vulnerabilities in society are being exposed because of this quarantine and this pandemic. And literally, and I believe this is a famine type of season. And so I have just from day one, this famine hit, like I got my mindset around, this is an opportunity for me to sow and serve at a time where I'll probably never be rewarded this well ever again, because there's certain types of harvests, there's certain types of rewards that are only available in times of great difficulty and crisis. And for many people that are like, well, gosh, Pedro, like this thing's almost over, I missed the window. I don't think so. And so that's kind of what was on my heart to talk about today, Dave. But man, I'm looking forward to our conversation.
No, I'm excited. I think for a little context here, I want you to tell the story of Isaac, just so people understand why we're calling this and why we talk so much about this sowing in a famine. I've had the opportunity now of seeing 4 major cycles as an entrepreneur. The last one, 2008, 2012, literally wiped me out. Pedro and I were just talking about, when this one hit, I had the same feeling he had, and that is, I'm not going to have that happen again. And a lot of it was the mindset. And, you know, Pedro, you were talking earlier about this whole idea of, well, I'm not Tony Robbins, I don't have that powerful mindset. But what happens, at least from my experience, is once you've gone, again, we talk about these entrepreneurial cycles. And I've always said I would never go into business with a partner who hasn't cycled at least once. I mean, I want to make sure they've gone through some hard times, because that's one of the things you're going to do as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. But before we go into that, I want you to kind of go back, give us some backstory as far as the context of Isaac's story from the Old Testament on exactly how this whole idea as far as sowing in a famine and how you reap from that.
Yeah. So guys, this is like one of the oldest stories you can get. Like this is literally in the book of Genesis chapter 26. And it's Isaac, you know, who was Abraham's son, and talked about there was a famine in the land. And literally Isaac, there's like no food, like famine. Like famine means there's no rain. And if there's no rain, you can't grow fruit. So this is a big problem, right? Like if you're living off the crops and there's no water, you're in trouble. So it says in the story that literally, it says Isaac was going to leave his land. He was going to leave his territory to go off into Egypt to try and find food in a distant land. And it says that the Lord said, no, stay here. Stay here in this land. And so right here. And literally, it didn't make any sense. Like, why would I sow seed in the land where there's no water, right? And so Isaac just trusted. He sowed in this time of famine. And the story says that in the exact same season, he was able to reap what's called a hundredfold harvest, which is not 100x. That's 100x is a huge return. I named my company, you know, but he actually sowed a hundredfold harvest, which is 2 to the 100th power, which is a crazy huge number, right? And so there's this promise that when you sow in times of crisis, when you sow in times of famine, you can reap these just, you can have these record types of harvests. And so many of us want the windfall, Dave. Like we all want the $1 million funnel. We all want to hit it big. We all want those opportunities to have these huge windfalls and reap these huge harvests. And yet many of us don't ever want to face a famine. And what I've seen is that you don't get the hundredfold harvest without the famine. And the famine is not up to me or you, Dave. Like we can't just cause famines to happen. You're living your life and these famines come, they come every so often. We don't control that. What we can't control is how we respond when the famine shows up. And because like you, Dave, I've went through a really, really hard time in my business and 6-7 years ago, completely failed in business, was massively depressed, battled suicide, like literally for over a year. Thought I was good for nothing. Literally was praying to God not to wake me up because I just found myself in so much debt and just this huge mess. I wasn't really happy. Looking back on that time, I'm not proud of myself. Like I really felt like I just spent 3 years on the couch getting beat up by negative, you know, negativity and doubt and fear and unbelief. And man, we lost everything. And so when this crisis came knocking, I just took a stand for myself and my family. I was like, no, I've already been stolen from once before. I've already let fear beat me up for 3 years before. I already allowed myself to get plundered once before, not this time. And the big thing, Dave, I didn't tell you earlier, was back then, my kids were still young enough. They don't really remember that. They don't remember seeing their dad literally a shell of a man on the couch, like just in a ball. But now my kids are 20, 19, and 17. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to let my kids see me stressed out and afraid and worrisome and shrinking back. They're going to remember that when COVID hit and the world was in panic, their dad showed up, served at scale. And so, man, like since I would say that literally those first few days, a little bit strange, but I would say about a week in, I was like, no, like this is happening for me, not to me. And we just launched the biggest challenge of our life in that moment, went all in, ended up serving 20,000 plus entrepreneurs all over the world, 98 nations, gave away my 3,000 signature program, trained it live for free for 30 days just because I wanted people to have the skills and tools they need to win online. And then on the back of that, ended up doing a multiple seven-figure challenge when we just opened up the program at a huge discount. And these last 90 days, Dave, since COVID hit, what I believe we've literally done 4 years of business. The company advanced 4 to 5 years in the last 4 months, simply because I think we responded correctly to show up and serve and add value in this time of famine. And I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this right now, like it's not too late. You didn't miss the window. This thing is still here. And if maybe if you're not super pleased with how much progress you maybe feel you made or have not yet made in this time, it's not too late. You can still get some seed in the ground during this famine time. And so, yeah, Dave, that's kind of, that's the story of Isaac. And that's just a real application. And sometimes, Dave, read the Bible, read these stories about people from 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. It doesn't seem like it's relevant for today. And here I am telling you, like, guys, like, I literally just have experienced this in the last 3-4 months. And I'm just like you guys. I'm in this community. I'm a funnel hacker. I'm an internet marketer. I'm here launching businesses and just like you, doing things just like you right now. And it's still possible, still available. And so, man, I'm excited. I'm excited, Dave, just to encourage and equip and help people, like, just make this time count, you know?
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for that. I can tell you, I think some of the main takeaways there, one is, you have to understand, as you're listening to this, realize that sowing is a ton of work. It is not easy. This is literally planting when it doesn't seem like you're going to reap anything at all. There's no guarantee of 100x at the end of this. Realize that the sowing aspect is, if you don't have the knowledge, this is where you're doubling down and you're doing the work. You're actually going out and you're gaining the knowledge. You're going into other people's challenges. You're doing whatever it takes to gain that knowledge. I think the other thing you made mention of, which I love in Isaac's story, is so often we think, you know, I'm just going to abandon where I'm at. I'm going to go do something new. And I think as an entrepreneur, we get this, it's so much, the grass is always greener someplace else. There's always another shiny object. There's always an easier, better way. And I've always been in the impression when you feel like you've been inspired or you've received revelation or whatever term you want to use, if, whenever the heavens basically open and you feel like, you know what, this is what I'm supposed to do, realize, double down on that. Your gut's going to tell you, even though everyone else is saying, you know what, I'd go to Egypt type of a deal. Understand, if you know in your heart of hearts that this is what you're supposed to be doing and you really feel it, spend the time, do the work, do the, sow twice as hard, sow three times as hard, whatever it takes to make sure that you're doing it so that when you get down on your knees and when you, whatever meditation, whatever you're going to say you do to try to tap into that divine source, to realize that as you're doing that, you're going to get the inspiration. You're going to get that revelation. So often we have to walk into the dark and then that light appears. It's not until the water laps at your legs that you begin to realize, oh, you know what? The waters are going to part. I'm actually going to be able to get through this thing. And I think it's one of the things I love, Pedro, about what you've done. And as I see, you know, we were talking just before we got on here about, again, a lot of mutual friends. I actually was listening to your podcast with JLD, John Lee Dumas, on EO Fire as you were kind of going through your challenge with him. And I was so impressed with the way in which you went and you did it at a time where it didn't make any sense. Fortunately, you had a lot of friends who supported you. You talked about Pete Vargas. You talked about Roland Frazier. You talked about Jeff Walker and John Lee Dumas and others. Where you're like, you know what? Now's the time. And I think it's important as you're listening to this, to make sure if you don't have those types of friends around you, they don't have to be the same people. They don't have to be the Evans and everyone else, but you should have some people who you can bounce some ideas off of. Those people who are like, you know what, now is that time. And I think that so often those people who really deep down inside know you to your core, that's where you need that sounding board, that mastermind, that community to belong to. So again, I appreciate that. I'd love for you to kind of dive in, if you don't mind, and talk a little bit about this whole concept of a challenge. Obviously, you are the challenge guy. You are the king of when it comes to challenges. You literally have done more challenges than I know of anyone else doing. And you've done huge 7-figure challenges. You and Pete were top, I guess, second or third, whatever. I think Jenna was first. You were like second or third. Anyways, as far as on the mastermind.com launch, you've been able to actually apply a lot of what you're doing right now and using a challenge. Obviously, we have our One Funnel Away challenge. We're huge proponents of challenges, but help people understand how they can use a challenge in their business.
Yeah. I've been studying marketing for a little bit now and definitely, I mean,
just a little,
I mean, no, but for real, like, I don't, it's not like a 20-year journey, but you know, I've been reading the books and buying the courses, like I would say probably for a good 6-7 years now. Right. And, I don't think I've ever seen anything like challenges in terms of their versatility, Dave. They're so versatile. And what I think is the most important about the challenge is how forgiving it is. You know, I think it's the most forgiving of all marketing strategies, meaning you don't have to be perfect. You know, like I think things like, you know, VSL and running traffic to a lead magnet into a VSL and then maybe a webinar. Those are amazing. Those are amazing tools. But guys, like, just to be keep it real, like, you got to be a pretty good copywriter, and your webinar's got to be pretty damn good. Like, I mean, like, very, very, very good at convert, especially cold traffic. And so, like, I know very accomplished marketers, smart, sharp people who still don't have a webinar they can run traffic to. And so with the challenge, like, with the challenge, for example, literally you are actually just earning people's trust. You're just leading by serving. I call it taste and see marketing. It's, to me, a challenge, Dave. It's like the Costco samples, right? You go through Costco, and I don't want to buy bagel bites today, but there's a lady with a little bagel bite. You're like, you want to try a bagel bite? I'm like, sure. I pop it in my mouth. I'm like, these are good. Can I have one more? I eat one more, and now I'm buying a bag of bagel bites, whatever it is, because I got to taste and see that I liked it, and I would never have bought those bagel bites if I didn't taste it right there and then. The challenge is taste and see marketing. It's like there is so much cynicism, Dave, in the marketing world. There's so much hype. There's so many people who overpromise, underdeliver. And so when there is this huge mountain of trust to overcome, like, why not just make it so easy? To me, we talk about risk reversal in marketing quite a bit, an advanced concept. The challenge is the ultimate risk reversal, you know, client acquisition strategy, because you're like, hey, I'm going to take me for a test drive. Let's spend 5 days together. Let's spend 7 days together. Let's spend 30 days together. If you're crazy like Russell and me and others who have done 30-day challenges, I do not recommend those for the brand new. Like, it's a marathon. I've done 31-day challenges live, Dave, every single day, and it's crazy. But guys, literally, you take all the risk off the table. By the time you make your offer, people know who you are. They know what you do. They either like you or they don't. If they don't, they're gone. And they're like, wow, like, I like this person. They can really help me. And I always say this, like, if you're actually really good at what you do, the best way to market it is just show people. Like, just let them see how good you are. And it's like, why make them have any trust, or why make them have to trust you? I don't want people to trust me at all. Let me show you. Let me just show you and let you experience it. Then you're like, and so I think challenges, plus it gets people to into action, Dave. So many people are just stuck thinking about things, and the challenges with the micro wins, having them take steps every day. People are building confidence along the way, and then you're getting them into a positive momentum. So by the time you're ready to invite them into your offer, they're actually already in momentum. They're not going from sitting still to this huge jump to your offer. And the culture, I mean, you can create culture in a challenge that you can't do anywhere else. My gosh, I can go on and on. But
tell me this, where do people start? Because I know people are listening to this going, I may have been exposed to the One Funnel Away challenge. I may have done 3 or 4 other different challenges, but I don't know how I'd do it myself. Where does a person start?
Great question. So I'd say this, there's two, I kind of think of it this way, Dave. You're either doing a challenge to earn or to learn.
I love that.
So right away, decide, what's my number one need right now? Do I need money? And I know most of us all will say, yeah, I need money, Pedro. But some of you need actually to learn more about your market than you need money right now. So I think a challenge, if you already have an offer, Dave, that you know converts, if you have an offer, you've sold it, you've got testimonials, you've got case studies, you've got a good product or service, but you're just having a hard time marketing it. Maybe the webinar thing has been tough for the VSLs. Then I think a challenge where you start is you start backwards. You say, okay, at the end of my challenge, I want people to think about buying my offer is now the next best logical step, right? So if you have an offer, I would start with the offer in mind and work backwards, okay? And then, of course, there's a lot of nuance to this that we teach. But if you don't have an offer.
Real quick, because I think that's important. I know for us, it's one of the things when we looked at the One Funnel Away Challenge that we actually paid a lot of attention to was trying to find out who is the best customer for ClickFunnels. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was more learning than the earning. I mean, we actually give away 100% of the cost to our affiliates and stuff. So I think too often people overlook the learning piece and they focus so much on the earning that I just kind of echoing what you already said. If you already have an offer, there's nothing better to do than actually have a challenge that leads into that, because you will really identify who your ideal customer is by doing it.
Yeah, 100%. And you're going to find out what their biggest concerns are, like what's holding them up. And if you don't have an offer yet, then guess what? Start doing some, play with some challenge ideas. Start identify your client avatar. I call it your who. Identify the people that you want to serve, the problems you want to solve. Do a challenge around that, those ideas, and then just start serving, adding value, lead by serving, and start asking them questions, seeing what they like. Hey, what's your biggest problem here? And you get a feel for your niche. I mean, the first, when I launched 100X, Dave, I wasn't trying to launch 100X. I did a 30-day masterclass, you know, using Expert Secrets framework. It was a give. I'm like, hey, I'm going to teach for 30 days just to kind of literally just to pay it forward. I had no plans of launching a company, no plans of making an offer whatsoever. I just was passionate about seeing these people better served with entrepreneurship and marketing from a faith-based perspective. Well, by 2 weeks in, they demanded an offer from me. They're like, no, you can't leave us now. And so guys, like literally I've launched a multiple seven, it'll be an 8-figure business in less than 2 years, not even trying to make an offer. And imagine what you could do on purpose. So I'm telling you, when you just start serving people and adding value, they will tell you, they'll give you clues as to what their problems are and what they want to buy from you. And so I think the best way to discover your niche and really find your lane is just do a bunch of challenges until you kind of find that pocket. Like guys, a challenge, you can pop up a challenge in a day or two, do it for 5 days, and then you can learn, do I like that niche or not? And most people, Dave, you know, they spend years, should I go into this niche?
Oh yeah.
That niche. They spend years thinking, well, you could do a challenge in 3 to 5 days and find out in a week and then move on to the next and just keep going from kind of niche to niche, offer to offer until you find your spot. And I think the challenge model is so easy to pop up, deliver, and then just wrap up that like a webinar. And I love webinars. I'm going to launch my first webinar hopefully in a few weeks. Like, because webinars, I think when you have a killer offer, the webinar is how you scale it and you get your life back. Guys, real talk. For 2 years, I have not had I have been all in on my business. Like, Dave's right. It's been challenged and challenged and challenged. Like, I mean, I have worked my face off for 2 years. And now I'm starting to kind of get back into I got my trainer back. I'm trying to, you know, get my tan. Like, I'm like, okay, let me take care of myself a little bit here. But so when you have a killer offer that, and you have it all dialed in, then the webinar is how you get your life back. You get your time back. So I'm in that phase now that I'm going to start to explore that. But until you've got that rock solid offer and your marketing and everything is, dude, just do challenges, create social. Oh my God, the social proof, Dave. Have you guys ever seen a better way to create social proof?
No.
Never seen it in my life.
Nothing
never
like
engagement
it.
Engagement through the roof. And so, so are you looking to learn or earn? Do you know who you want to work with? Or are you still testing? Do you have a solid offer or are you still on the hunt? And, so if your challenge is more about learning, then think about topics and ideas where you can get the most amount of input from people. If it's really about earning money, then just, man, just build that challenge like a little step-by-step map to make them ready to buy your offer. And you can even use Russell's kind of like perfect webinar sequence almost as kind of a hack. You can take the perfect webinar, Dave, and just instead of doing it over 90 minutes, you can break that into like 4 or 5 days. And you can take those three secrets. That's day two, day three, day four, right? And then so if you wanted to, that's kind of like a very simple framework. Of course, we've got some, you know, obviously more, you know, challenge specific framework. Again, folks thinking about how a challenge is different.
So is that last part, you kind of broke up there. How a challenge is different than what?
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I think my internet's a little wonky. I said how a challenge is it's different than obviously a webinar or a VSL.
Yeah.
But what I like about challenges too, Dave, is a challenge is not a marketing tactic. It's an actual overarching strategy. So,
which is so critical. I people confuse strategy and tactics all the time. Please.
Everything that you learned about copywriting, you're going to use with your challenge. All the VSL stuff you learned, guess what? Your VSL is part of your funnel to sell the challenge. Your webinars, learning how to pitch a webinar, guess what? The webinar is day four of the challenge. So all of what you've already learned on the journey to get here now comes under the umbrella and the architecture of this challenge framework. And so you're like, oh man, I just wasted a year learning a webinar. You didn't waste anything. This challenge model is now going to allow you a chance to showcase all of what you learned. And so it's an overarching strategy. And here's the cool part, Dave. A challenge work. I have brand new students who would literally have made their first dollar online using a challenge. Like they've made their first dollar, first $1,000. I've used challenges to build now on a way to 8-figure business. And you guys are using challenges to build $100 million a year business. So these things work whether you're 0, 7 figures, 8 figures, 9 figures. It's crazy. Dave, where else do you see one framework that works as well for a brand new person as a $100 million company like you guys? How rare is that?
Please understand, you guys are listening to this, challenges aren't just unique to the information marketing space. I mean, challenges, no matter what, I mean, I originally thought of challenges in the fitness industry. That's the first time I thought of challenges and realized your brick and mortar businesses, they are great for challenges.
Huge.
There's so many places. So please understand, this is not just an information marketing internet play. This is literally something, no matter what business you have, I don't care if you're financial services, I don't care if you're selling pets or dog, or I don't care what you're, there is a challenge that will work in every single industry from faith to fitness to whatever fad you might have. And I think—
Totally agree. I think so during my launch, Dave, I interviewed a guy named Ryan Blair. Ryan Blair was the CEO of Visalus.
Yeah.
Remember how they grew Visalus?
The
98 weight loss challenge. Dave, they sold over 600, in their biggest year, $630 million. Of protein powder on the back of a 90-day weight loss challenge. That was it. That was their one marketing strategy. 90-day challenges. They built their whole culture around it. $630 million of a physical product, Dave, not info business, not coaching consulting, not, physical products. So guys, I'm telling you right now, I don't care what niche you're in. There's a challenge that will work for you and in your space. I think challenges actually will work even better in physical products.
Like I agree.
I'm doing some really cool JVs. I'm working out with some people, some pretty cool brands, and these are physical product challenges, and I'm excited about it because I think it works even better in that space. And look how amazing it has been for us in the online digital world, Dave. Imagine what's possible with.
I totally agree. Pedro, I could literally talk to you for hours, and I'm sure my audience would love to hear that. I know we're going to get close to wrapping up. I got two things real fast. One is traffic. People always wonder, how do I get traffic? What's the best way for me to get traffic to a challenge?
Yeah. Well, there's basically two ways. I think obviously Traffic Secrets is going to be a great place to go get. But for me, what I've done is I have actually done really well, Dave, with cold traffic. Because when I first started, Dave, no one knew me. Like nobody wanted to be an affiliate for me because no one even knew who the hell I was. So how do you go get affiliates when no one even knows, like, well, who are you? So I've really built all of this on the back of cold traffic and cold traffic into a challenge. Cold traffic. Well, it first was called a masterclass. So I used kind of Russell's masterclass model. And then it wasn't until 2019, FHL 19, where I even heard about challenges. And I was like, oh, a challenge is just a paid masterclass. I can do that. That's like, I can free masterclass, paid challenge. Duh. Let's go pay challenge. Right. So I ran a ton of cold traffic, and apparently that's not easy to do. So I have all these, like, I have all these really smart marketers that I look up to. They're like, bro, how do you get your cold traffic to convert? Like, we can't make it work. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't make it work? You guys are way more famous than me. They're like, dude, we can't figure this out. And because they have huge databases already, and they have huge credibility, so they've been able to work their email list and affiliates. But what do you do until you have that, right? So you got to get cold traffic to work. And for me, my secret was I just carved a really deep niche, Dave. I think one of the biggest keys to my success is not just challenges, but it's challenges highly targeted to a very niched audience. And most people are unwilling to niche down and commit to a niche at the level I have. And I always say, like, commit to your niche and they'll commit to you. And too many people are trying to speak to too broad of an audience. Agreed. And they don't realize you're not going to be able to find your footing. Like, I know people that want to talk about, like, they want to talk about, like, motivational stuff and mindset. And I'm like, dude, like, really? So you want to be in the same level as Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi? Like, why would you want to try and speak at that level of the conversation? You're going to get lost. Like, go talk about mindset to overwhelmed stay home moms who are breastfeeding. And now you'll get an audience there, and they don't care about Tony Robbins. He ain't breastfeeding, but
that's
you,
right.
You are an overwhelmed stay home mom who is homeschooling and is breastfeeding. Has got three babies. Now they want to hear from you. So carve that niche so tight only you really can fit inside of it, and you can become their who they want to hear from the most. And most people, Dave, are just not willing to do that. I think it's a fear of missing out. It's a, oh, well, but I can also help these people. I can help men and women. I can help entrepreneurs and employees. I call it the Messiah complex. I'm like, dude, like, you're going to have a hard time. And so I think that's how I was able to get cold traffic to work. And obviously we know a direct response 101, whoever can spend the most to acquire the client is going to probably win. And if you can't get cold traffic to convert, you don't really have a business, in my opinion. Like, you're not really, I mean, I would say you're not really a direct response marketer, in my opinion, until you can give Facebook or YouTube or some a dollar and make back a dollar or more. And for me, it was challenges and micro niching.
Oh, I love it. Well, Pedro, last thing, and that is, I know people who are listening to this are going to be dying. How do I get a hold of Pedro? What's the best way? How do I get more of him? Where do they go? How do they reach you? Where do you want to send them?
Yeah. So probably the best thing to do is if you want to kind of know more about me and kind of what I'm up to, you can go to just my website. It's pedroadeo.com. But if you really want to learn more about, like, kind of what we've done with challenges and kind of maybe for you, Dave, and your audience here, go to crushitwithchallenges.com/Dave. crushitwithchallenges.com/Dave. And I'm going to put up a special bonus training maybe on the how to avoid the three or four or five biggest mistakes I see people make with their challenges. And obviously a lot of folks are running challenges now, and I look at most of them and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. So I'll do something for your audience, Dave.
Thank you.
I'll do a little training on why challenges are now, why they should be doing a challenge, and maybe how to avoid the top five mistakes I see people make. I'll do that as a gift for your audience here. CrushItWithChallenges.com/Dave.
CrushItWithChallenges.com/Dave. Thank you so much, bud. Always great. I love talking to you, bud. I literally could spend days with you. So next time I'm down in Huntington Beach, I will be hooking you up for sure.
Dude, let's go. Come on.
We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Yeah, buddy. Bye.